Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We appreciate you so much, and I want to encourage you to find a church home where you can be active, where you can be part of what's going on there, and looking not only to make yourself more like your Savior, but also to help those around you to disciple and to become more like the great plan that God has got set for us in this world. I want to take just a moment, if I could, and wish happy birthday and happy anniversary to some special folks, members here at Rallets. I first of all want to wish happy anniversary to AJ and Rhonda Wilson. Today, Thursday the 27th, happy anniversary, AJ and Rhonda. Happy anniversary, Saturday the 29th, to David and Lisa Page. Many of you know David and Lisa and AJ and Rhonda, so wish those two wonderful couples happy anniversary. And wish a big happy birthday to Anna Metter and Drew Barber. Anna Metter is celebrating a birthday on Friday the 28th, and Drew will be celebrating his birthday on Sunday the 30th. And I appreciate all those folks so much. I'd like to share with you, if I could, a little while this morning, out of Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25. And it's a psalm about a plea of deliverance and forgiveness. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm that lets us know that shame is what the enemies of the righteous will feel. And so it's really, really good. But it also gives us some wonderful, wonderful insight into the working of the Holy Spirit. And if there's one thing that we have neglected as a congregation, and I mean not just simply a congregation here at Rallets, but when I say that today, I'm going to be meaning the body of believers. You see, we're all part of the same church, some folks probably wouldn't like to hear that. But if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you become what we like to call saved, or if you've made a decision to follow Christ, if you have that in your heart and you know that, you're a part of the church of Christ. And we thank God so much that He's enabled all of us to be brothers and sisters under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for being a part of that and for allowing God to use you. Jesus gives us a wonderful promise in John chapter 14. Many of you could probably quote that with me, but in John 14, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, in this section of Scripture, Psalm 25, we'll probably just look at the first 13 verses. In this section of Scripture, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will be with us. He will be our helper, and He will teach us and lead us into all truth. We have a helper alongside of us every moment of every day. He abides with us forever. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? He abides with us forever, the helper that Jesus sent. So, whenever we are struggling or we're in need of divine help, God is never far from us. In fact, He's living right inside of our hearts. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, 1 John 4:12 and 13 says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His," what? "His Spirit." Amen. I'm so grateful today that we as Christians have been given a great gift, and that gift is called the Holy Spirit. There was a Brother Perlman that wrote one time, "One of the most comprehensive definitions of a Christian is that he is a man in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. His body, our bodies, are temples of the Holy Ghost, in virtue of which experience he is sanctified. As the tabernacle was consecrated by Jehovah's indwelling, he is then called a saint, and it becomes his duty to guard the sanctity of the temple of his body." Now, let's look at Psalm 25, verses 1 through 13. It's going to show us many of the ways that God's Spirit helps us through our Christian walk. And let's read this together. Then we'll go back and take a closer look at some of these verses. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright, this is verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in his justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Now let's go back and look a little closer, if we could, and understand exactly the things the Holy Spirit is attempting to do in our lives. We are so grateful that the Holy Spirit is not only present throughout the New Testament, but we find Him in every book of the Old Testament, that we have never seen the Holy Spirit when it's not at work. But there's something special today, is the fact that when Jesus sent the Comforter, no longer did God dwell in temples made by man, but God dwelt in a temple that He created Himself, and that's in the heart of people that believe in Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, verse 1, he says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Now, friend, you have to see the first thing the Holy Spirit does is cause us to lift up our soul in prayer and worship. He gives us a desire in our heart to reach up toward heaven. That's why John 16:13 tells us about the Holy Spirit. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Now, the Holy Spirit does not attract attention to himself. Rather, he points us to God the Father and to Jesus. He gives us a desire in our soul to commune with God. As David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Holy Spirit causes us to be able to lift up and causes our prayers to be able to enter into the throne room of God. God is the vehicle that allows Christian men and women to be able to commune with God Himself. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit teaches us about worship. He shows us in our hearts how we need to be lifting up our voices, lifting up our hearts, lifting up our actions to a holy God. Now that's verse 1, but we've got much more to go. Verse 2, oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. The next thing we see is the Holy Spirit is giving us the victory. As Romans 8:37 promises, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Do you feel surrounded by problems? Trust in God. Do you feel like you don't know what lies ahead for you tomorrow? Trust in God. Are the children rebellious? Trust in God. Are things looking down for you? Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. He will give you the victory. He will not allow your enemies to triumph over you. Notice, in this verse, the key to victory is the phrase, I trust in you. We must learn to trust in God and believe His Word. He will not let us down. So the Holy Spirit not only teaches us to worship, but He gives us the victory. The Holy Spirit's doing is giving us the victory. Verse 3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. The Holy Spirit, watch this, teaches us to wait on God. Isn't that wonderful? There are times when we must wait before the Lord. When we need to spend time in His presence, allowing His Spirit to minister peace and strength to us. Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Do you need strength from the Lord to overcome? Spend time waiting on Him. David was the king of all Israel. He commanded a huge army. He organized the temple worship with different groups of singers, taking turns singing the songs that he wrote. He had many wives. He was surrounded by friends. He had great wealth, and yet he had learned the most important part of life was waiting on the Lord. As he wrote in Psalm 27 and verse 14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So the Holy Spirit teaches us to wait on God. Look at verse 4. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to walk in the ways of the Lord. He reveals the way we should go when we're unsure. And He guides and directs us along the way. Isaiah 30:21 assures us, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Notice this verse says, "Show me your ways and teach me your paths." It does not say, "Help me in my ways and strengthen me in my paths." We need to learn to follow the Lord's path. We may have the greatest of intentions as to the path that we want to take, but as Proverbs 14:12 warns us, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Let's be sure that we're on the Lord's path that leads to eternal life. Charles Haddon Spurgeon commented on it like this: "We cannot at all times discern the path of duty, and at such times it is our wisdom to apply to the Lord Himself. Frequently, the dealings of God with us are mysterious, and then also we may appeal to Him as His own interpreter. And in due time He will make all things plain. Moral, providential, and mental forms of guidance are all precious gifts of a gracious God to a teachable people." What weak, dependent creatures we are, friends. How constantly we need to cry to the strength that comes from God. So the Holy Spirit teaches us to walk in the ways of the Lord. Look at verse 5. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." The Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth. Did you see that? "Lead me in your truth." There is no reason for believers to be confused or to be fooled by false teaching. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, and He'll teach you in the way of the Lord. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." And I bet many of you can quote it with me: "The truth shall make you free." Do you want to discover the truth of the Lord, the truth of His Word, and the truth of His ways? Ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and He'll reveal the truth to you. He will teach you. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Verse 6. "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old." The Holy Spirit will teach us about God. Oh yes, He'll teach us about God. He'll reveal God's nature to us. He'll show us the Lord's attributes. As Plummer wrote in 1867, "The attributes of God are the foundation of all true religion." Here King David talks about the tender mercies and loving kindness of the Lord. And then he says they are from old. He expanded upon this idea when he wrote the 103rd Psalm. Verses 10 through 13 and 17 paint for us a beautiful picture of who God is. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins," thank you, Lord, "nor punished us according to our iniquities," hallelujah. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and those who fear Him and His righteousness to children's children. Amen. I'll tell you, the legacy that God leaves us is an ongoing legacy. Once a family begins to turn to the Lord will work in that family for generation after generation. And what a great, great blessing it is to know that we had parents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents that paved the way that you and I might one day receive the gospel, that you and I might one day follow in the footprints of not only our ancestors who were godly, but into the men and women who were the very first Christians. That first generation left a lasting legacy that we might be able to follow, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide, and He shows us how to overcome sin. That's verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. The Holy Spirit will be constantly pointing us to the Lord and His Word for strength. He will help us to become spiritually stronger so we can overcome the temptation of sin. How often are we haunted by the sins of our youth? Areas that we thought were gone from us years ago sneak back into our lives, but the Lord is full of mercy and helps us even when we fail Him. As we learn to trust Him more, we also learn how to overcome those sins that have so often tripped us up. Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Spurgeon points out once again, the world winks at the sins of young men, and yet they are not so little after all. The bones of youthful feasting at Satan's table will stick painfully in our throats when we are old men. He who presumes upon his youth is poisoning his old age. How large a tear we rend in our souls as some of us reflect upon our past. The Holy Spirit shows us how to overcome sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and for that we should be eternally grateful. Good and upright, verse 8 says, is the Lord. Therefore He teaches sinners in the way. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He reveals to us that we are sinners. He makes us feel guilty for our transgressions, and He leads us to the one, to God Himself, who will forgive us. And then He helps us to overcome evil. Now this is an ongoing process, that we're constantly falling into the snare of sin. Friend, listen to me. We must always be willing to listen to the voice of the Spirit showing us areas in our life which we need to repent in. Notice that this verse gives the reason that God teaches sinners in the way, because He is good and upright. He wants to see us living according to His holy standards. So He shows us when we have fallen short of the mark. The Holy Spirit convicts us and causes remorse in our hearts so that we will do better next time. That's not too much to ask, is it? That God has done so great a work in our lives that we're simply asked to do better next time. Do the best you can, friend. That's all God's ever asked of you. And then allow the Lord to work in your heart. Verse 9 says the Holy Spirit guides us. The humble He guides in justice, and the humble He teaches His way. He goes with us every day. He's always by our side to lead us along. Psalm 37 tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. This verse tells us He guides the humble in justice. He teaches the humble in His way. We need to humbly accept the Lord's way as the right way. Sometimes, now you know, you and I both are guilty of this. Sometimes we're full of pride, and we insist on going our own way, and at those times the Lord just can't guide us. We're too headstrong to listen to the voice of the Spirit. We need to learn humility. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Holy Spirit will guide us if we'll allow Him to. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to keep us as His covenant and His testimonies. Now, I like that verse 10. Because the Holy Spirit teaches us the law of the Lord. That's God's Word. And we spend time studying the Bible. The Spirit reveals new truth to us. If we come across portions of the Scripture that are difficult for us to understand, we can ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our understanding, shed light on it. As we serve the Lord, we discover a desire to learn more about the Bible. And as we spend time reading God's Word, we develop a growing hunger to study these Scriptures. If you got a hold of a pizza that was your favorite pizza that you've ever eaten, and it just Oh, man, you just love so much to have that pizza. Wouldn't you go back for seconds? Wouldn't you look about 3 or 4 days later and say, I'm going to have to get me another slice of that. It was so good. Listen, the Bible is sweeter than any food that's ever been put on this earth. The Bible is sweeter and more nutritious than anything else that God has ever provided us with. And once you get a taste of God's Holy Word, it's going to develop in you a hunger. And you're going to desire to have more and more of that. And I'll tell you this, you cannot expose yourself to God's Holy Word with a right understanding and a humble heart and not expect change to happen in your life. Do you have a desire to read God's Word and learn from it? Is it so strong in you that you want to spend time in the Bible every day? If not, then pray for the Spirit to help you. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be your helper, to assist you in learning the Scriptures. And you remember Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Now, verse 11, the Holy Spirit will show us the right way. "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Now watch this. Haven't you seen this to be true? The longer we serve the Lord, the more we realize how great is our iniquity. The reason for this is that we learn more about God and His way. We gain a better understanding of how far short we are to His standards. This is what Isaiah experienced when he found himself in the presence of the Lord. He said in Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When we're in God's presence, we will realize how great is our sin. It's then that we understand how we cannot depend on our own strength. But we must place our trust in the Lord's strength. In our own strength, we will surely fail. We have proven that to ourselves over and over and over again. But as we learn to turn more areas of our life over to God, we discover a supernatural ability to overcome sin's temptation. In ourselves, we can do nothing. But as Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Finally, our last two verses for today. The Holy Spirit will help us to obey God's commandments. Look at verse 12. "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses." We love to read and hear about God's mercy, but we need to learn more about God's judgment. When we truly understand God's holiness, we'll want to obey His commandments. We will have a fear for God's wrath. God's wrath is simply a determined response to sin in our lives. We will have a supernatural desire to please God. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to have the desire to be obedient. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? "If you love me, keep my commandments." We need to learn obedience. And finally, verse 13 for today. I encourage you to go finish out this wonderful psalm. It's full of beauty, but I'm going to run out of time today. And so, verse 13. "He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth." The greatest part of the Holy Spirit to me in my heart is that the Holy Spirit will comfort us. You see, the Hebrew word translated prosperity is tov. This word means good. God will give us good things. He will give us all kinds of good things. No matter what trials that we may have to face, the Holy Spirit is always there to comfort us with the goodness of God. This verse is teaching that we shall all be blessed where we dwell, and even our children will be blessed. When Jesus was teaching on prayer in Matthew 7, He told the people the parable of the good father. In verse 11, He said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Whether it's healing for our sickness, peace in our times of trouble, joy for our sorrow, encouragement for our despair, strength in our weakness, or comfort in our hopelessness, God wants to give us good things. And the greatest gift that Christians have been given is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friend, do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart this morning? If not, God desires to implant Him there. Have you made a public confession of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? If not, Through prayer, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do so. Now, I want to encourage you, if this is the first time you've ever asked Jesus into your heart, you've got to let people know. That's not a secret you can keep to yourself. And then find yourself a good church, a good Bible-believing, Jesus-worshiping church, where you can feel it comfortable and serve the Lord with gladness. Friend, will you close with me today in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for this time in which that you've implanted us. For God, I believe if there's ever a time when the gospel is needed more, it's this time that we serve in right now. And Father, I pray that you might help those that are understanding what it means to be a Christian, to develop more of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to allow God to fill up every aspect of their heart, every part of their mind, dear Lord, to be given over to total control of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we'll be sure to thank you. We'll be sure to praise your name, dear Lord, for eternity. This life will seem a short time when compared to eternity. Thank you today for the Comforter. Thank you, dear Jesus, for sending the Helper. And it's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.